Hello and welcome to Techlandia, Goatlandia, Grumpy Old Age Teachers Edition. I am John Samuelson. I'm tired and old, and I'm in Portland, Oregon. Down in the great state of the Golden State.
Down is that where we are? Are we the Golden State?
We are. And did you know Portland?
I thought we were the Rose State. Where are we? The Rose State because the Rose Parade.
Ooh, that would be good. We should call you the Rose State. That's good. There's a lot of roses there. But down in the Rose Golden State, we have the lovely, the talented, the one, the only
Scott Bedley. Scottetach. On the Twitters.
Do you like how I've been tweeting more at Scott Teach on the Twitters instead of
Toss? I appreciate it. Because, Toss Fair is really about that competition I created and me trying to stay focused on those kind of things.
Wow, look at that. Did you create something?
I did. Is that shocking?
That is shocking.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked too, so.
Well, you know what? I know a guy that's also in your Golden State by the name of Tim Bedley. We like to call him Father Time. And you know what he created? As we both press it. He created, these big, bulging biceps. Like, from he voxed me something where he's, like, taking a picture of himself working out. And he's like, I'm working out. You and Scott keep making fun of me, but I'm a lean, mean fight machine. I said, yeah, got no arguments here. I'm a old, tired, fat guy. And I admire you for trying. And when we get to be as old as Tim, then we will start to exercise. Because the ARP card's coming in the mail pretty soon.
Hey, listen, John, I have it set on my Google Calendar for when I turn 50 to start working out like Tim. So I'm all good.
Yeah, we'll be good. Hey, if he can do it, we can do it. Was Tim, when Tim was middle-aged like us, was he pudgy?
Tim has never been pudgy. He's always been a model of, he's always been an Adonis.
Gosh, some people are so cursed. And then there's me. I kind of look like Eeyore. I kind of act like Eeyore in February, too.
Yeah, February...
February is my killer month, and you know what? The hits just keep on coming. Friday the 13th, though, was actually a pretty good day because two negatives equal a positive. So yeah. Friday the 13th, it's like a glimmer of hope. You know what else is going to be? And it's not because it's negative, but IPDX conference at the end of February, that's just so good that it just outshines the badness. So.
Yeah, and it's all sold out, so don't try to get in.
Don't try and get in that. You missed out. You better sign up. I would start signing up for next year already because I heard he's got some killer speakers lined up. You know how I know? Because he's Hudgy Bear. That's how I know.
Dude, he's legit.
He's legit.
He is legit.
Too legit to quit.
Yeah, Friday the 13th was good for me, John.
Yeah, it was for me too.
Yeah. It was Valentine's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the old Valentine's party at school, which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The kids get really excited about that.
Oh my gosh, that is one of the worst parties. It's only second to only the Halloween party.
We had an author visit too, so that was really cool. We had Jenny Holm visit the classroom actually.
Wait, you had Jenny Holm visit your classroom on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, well, Valentine's Eve.
Valentine's Eve Day, okay. But yeah, technically Valentine's Day for the kids.
Technically for them, yeah, school Valentine's Day. And, we did a little kind of Google Hangout. She was in the principal's office hiding out. Then she pretended like there was a knock on the door. And all of a sudden she walks into my classroom and the shock on the kid's face was just awesome. It was, John, it was epic because we read The 14th Goldfish, which is her most current book, and for Global Read Aloud with You know, and it was just it was priceless, honestly. And I hope the kids remember that forever. Like, they'll be like, I remember that one guy, fourth or fifth grade teacher, I can't remember, but mm-hmm. got that one author to come in and surprise us. And that'll
what
be their
book called? Yeah, that's
yeah, what
that's
that cool. book.
So how do you set that up? Like, how do you set that stuff up? Do you just use your Scott Bedley-ness and set it up? Did you write on the coattails of Tim Bedley? Or as we like to call him, Father Time. How did you set that up?
I was right on the coattails of Tim Bedley.
That's right. We tried right on the coattails. You know who is the brains of the outfit, though? And I'm going to give him his own sound effect right now. Gene Bedley. Father of the Bedley brothers.
He is pretty amazing, that's for sure.
He's a legend. I think you guys are both riding his coattails, is what I think. Does Gene listen to our podcast?
No. I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
There's only like three people that listen to it, but that's okay because we're amused. We amuse ourselves. That's all we care about, right?
What one is Father Time?
Father Time listens as he works out and goes, I'm going to get those guys next time I see him at Q. I'm going to get them. That's right. Tim talks nothing like that anyway.
But Tim's going to sweep the leg at Q, man.
I know. When I get backhanded and I'm like, oh, what was that? It'll be Tim Bedley. That's funny. So tell us how. So this is a really cool story, by the way, and this is totally, by the way, we're going to. Let's see, what sound effect should be this? All right, ready? This is humble brag sound effect.
Yeah.
Gong. Okay, but this is a really cool story, so we're going to give you a chance to humble brag because I humble bragged about when I just had people like create a one teacher in our whole district make a podcast. Hopefully, we'll get more. So how did you set up Jenny coming into the classroom?
I emailed.
And I asked her. Jeez, you threw out all the stops for that, huh?
I just, you know, John, I think I told you this. I just bug people. I bug them until they say yes. And it's easier for them to, you know, get me off their back by just saying yes.
That's cool.
And it was fun. I know it's a humble brag, but I was super stoked for my kids. I mean, that's really what it was about, is trying to create this moment for them, and it did. I hope they enjoyed it. They seemed to.
Did you have video?
Yeah, we broadcast it live.
Did you know? So, did you broadcast it live?
Yeah, we broadcast it live.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
So it's out there on the internet somewhere.
Okay, I'm gonna look that out then. That's cool. Yeah, that's pretty good. And I heard she brought you gifts.
Yeah, she actually brought me an iced tea. It was super sweet of her. She's honestly, John, nicest person. And she's going to be up at the nerdy book camp.
All right, you're leading me right there. I mean, I hate to humble brag about other podcasts, but on Booklandia, I've seen Colby. Now, Colby Sharp is one of the big time founders of the Nerdy Book Club, which I didn't know existed until about last year. And it's an amazing blog. You should go to it. And they do a post every day. But Colby has, he just had his fourth child. And so, and his name's Hobbs. And so Hobbs gets all this swag from these authors because Colby in Michigan is such a big deal. That he, like, they come in and visit all the time. And I'm pretty sure she came in not that long ago and visited up in Michigan. She must have been up in Michigan or something. But hey, you just emailed. I mean, that's pretty good. I think that maybe you have more humble bragness than Colby Sharp right now. But I always see Colby just I saw this year that's going to be a little bit different because, you know, our good friend Allison Anderson went to the Nerdy Book Club, what would it be? Nerd Camp, basically, then, is what they call it over the summer. So she went over after we talked with him on Techlandia, humble brag. And so, anyway, Allison just said it was crazy. And they have one where the kids just have, they go in and the authors, it's just incredible what he does. But I think they're actually charging this year, but it's just a little bit. So I think it's like $15 right now. So if you want to go to Nerd Camp, you're around the Michigan area, you like authors and books, and just talking about stuff, Colby is the man. First of all, you should just go and meet him. But he knows all the people. I'm sure that like Donalyn Miller is going to come up from Texas. I bet she does, because she's one of the other like co-founders. And
he always has some like amazing authors, right, at this thing.
He has really
either Skype in or they're live. Like Jenny's going to be there live, which is, you know.
Yeah, that's great. So I just want to say that if you are around the Michigan area and you want to or just like learn about books, Booklandia, Colby gives 3 book picks each week. And we actually did our last episode over Voxer, and I think it's done because he hasn't Voxed me in like a week. So I'm going to try and see if I can magically edit it into Voxer, because we're having a hard time getting the Google Hangouts done with the Eastern to Pacific time zones. So, but yeah, look at it.
Is that hard, John? That's pretty smart of you to use Voxer to do a show like that.
You know where I stole it from was my good friend Jeff Herb, who is instructional pet talk. We'll give him a humble plug. Yeah, let's do that. That's the plug gong. By the way, this show is sponsored by Floby. But we can't do that. We have to, because Floby's giving us money. So okay. Anyway, would you like to read the promo from Floby real quick? Because we're actually getting it in way early in the show this time. So
we are. And,
okay.
You know, the Floby people have taken such good care of us, John.
Yes, they have.
So to move up a plug for Floby early on in the show, I think it's a thank you. So here you go,
Floby. Look at my hairline. Holy cow. I just took off that hat.
Hairline receding?
Oh, my gosh.
It's no problem for the Floby.
Oh, my gosh.
Just grab the vac and take it back.
That's right.
Floby, haircutting the 21st century way. # future ready haircuts. By Floby.
Oh my gosh, look at that. If I was bald, what would I look like? Oh my gosh. I can't be bald yet. Hair keeps growing. You know what? Bob Samuelson, my dad, used to be Techlandia's favorite fan, and he hasn't listened at all this year. He just admitted to me. And if he listens to this podcast, I know that Bob is like 71 and he still has his hair. So I'm hopeful for myself. Maybe I just have the big receding hairline kind of thing going on, big forehead. So
you got a five head?
Five head, yeah, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's not like Father Time, who has a full set of luscious hair and big biceps to match.
And he's got that kind of like beard thing going on now.
Oh, yeah, so
he's looking like a lumberjack almost. It's just...
Maybe that's what he's going to do over his summer job, earn some extra cash.
I heard he's going to go up to Alaska and, you know, be on a fishing boat or something like that. Ooh, as well.
Deadliest catch. I can see that. He takes on challenges like that. He doesn't care. He's risking his life every day. He's Father Time.
He is like the most interesting man in education, teacher edition.
The most interesting man.
Tim Lauer is still the most interesting man in education.
Tim Principal Lauer edition, is an interesting but... man. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, he was kicking the knowledge yesterday. So I was at Lewis Elementary yesterday, and I did Tim Lauer. So there we go.
Humble
brag.
You
know what? So you know what? Kurt Rees, I was at Lewis talking to Tim Lauer. So you know what? I might not be Joe Mazza with my fancy podcast, but I can still talk to Tim Lauer. And that's okay. Did we ever tell you the story about how we went to PDX and the first time we met Tim Lauer? Did we ever tell you that story?
You did. And he invited you to go to his school. And so you guys were just like blown away.
Right. So he's taking us around in his fancy car. And he drops us back off at the Hilton or whatever. And then it was my friend Tyler, who's also an administrator and who I actually went to like middle school and high school with. And Kurt, and we all got out, and I was like, this is so cool that Tim Lauer is taking us around. And then we got out of the car, and I was like, that was awesome. And then Kurt Rees goes, I just texted my wife and told her that Tim Lauer was taking us around. We're like little dorks. And I was like, oh, okay, good, because I thought I was the only one thinking that. But, yeah, that's how much of an impact Tim Lauer has. But it's good.
Hey, John, I'm getting an early critique on tonight's show.
Uh-oh.
They're saying too many sound effects.
Oh, I think we might have a special guest coming in. It looks like someone's awake. Let me see if I can get this. Okay, this might be our first grumpy old men teachers with a special guest. I won't tell you yet. Wait, hold on. I can't do sound effects and do that at the same time. Okay. Oh, I almost
is it?
Too. It might be. Mr. McNology. Looks like he's awake. He was asleep last night, he said. So, let's see if he comes in.
Right. Oh, that would have been awesome.
If he had just come in. So who's critiquing us and saying we have too many sound effects? Was it Mr. McNology?
It was a, let me see. Oh, no, it's David Terrio.
Oh, David Terrio. What's David Terrio doing up so late?
I'm just kidding.
Okay. So, anyway.
We all have school off tomorrow. John, who's not up this late?
Yeah, I'm off tomorrow. It's great. President's Day.
Who's not messing up their sleep pattern today?
We would be anyway, even if we had to go to school tomorrow, most likely.
Oh, gosh. I don't know about that.
So when I went to Tim Lauer's school anyway, I Camp Chromebook was on Valentine's Day. And so I've actually retitled Camp Chromebook, Camp I Need a Marriage Counselor, because my wife can't believe I'm going to Camp Chromebook for professional development all day on Valentine's Day and not spending it with the family. I need a divorce. That it's a little bit long of a hashtag, but that was what I retitled it anyway. But there was some great stuff I learned. There were some interesting
things. Who's there? I thought I saw some people. I thought I saw like some pretty insane names coming out. Was this like a huge conference? What was this?
No, it was a really small, cute, little legit conference, probably about 60, 70 people. Just cute and intimate, just like always Portland is. But we have such great people in Portland that, you know, it, I don't know, it just comes in. Uh-oh, Jeremy's now texting me in here. Always having issues with his computer. Okay, well, we'll see. Jeremy, it's still there. But, see. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. McNology, inventor of Digital Learning Day. So, you know, Jeremy's taken it up a notch, I think, and we'll have to talk to him about inventing Digital Learning Day. But now that he's like a bigwig, he's actually the inventor of Digital Learning Year. That's what he's going to take it up. So it's going to go from just one day to 365 days a year.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But there's so some good stuff.
No days off then, huh?
No days off. There's no rest for Digital Learning Day.
This just in, John. We're okay. Going to Global School Play Year.
Gosh, with Hour of Code, too. There's going to be so much stuff going on. I can't even handle
it. Hour of Code. This just in. Day of Code.
Yeah, since it was only an hour, it only gets to go up to a day.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, you know whose session was really awesome? Coach K, if you haven't seen her on the Twitter, at Coach K, Kelly Kermode, all the way from Michigan, coming in to just do one session and learn how to run a Camp Chromebook for her peeps back in Michigan.
Nice.
And I also went to a session from Techlandia's own Ted Rossisi, Allison Anderson, and I love how Allison gets in there because she totally made it legit with like.
Wait! Is she? Did you just make an announcement right there?
What's that?
Techlandia's own is Allison back?
Oh, no, she's not back.
That sucks.
But it launched. You know, Techlandia was the brainchild of Allison herself. Not even Kurt. And you know what? I'm going to start calling Kurt Rees out. Not even close to Kurt Rees. I mean, he didn't jump on until like 10, 12 episodes in, and we just let him in, you know, because we thought, hey, you know, he's got these blue steel eyes. They're just so mesmerizing and beautiful. And he's such a handsome guy. We thought maybe we needed some eye candy on Techlandia. And there it is. That's the story. So, yeah.
I don't know where to go with that one, John.
Okay, so anyway. Well, he's no Tim Bedley. But
Father Time.
We have to work on that one, I think. But yeah, so it was really cool. There was some cool stuff. And so Allison made her session pretty, people were just kind of more, it was more Ed Camp style, and she did a good job. And boy, Kelly Kermode just kept throwing out like an advanced Google Docs session. And it's like, right. You always think you know Google Docs, and then somebody always shows you something and you don't. And oh my gosh, it's the first guest in the history of Grumpy Old Teachers. Let's give it up for Mr. McNology. Fought through. You know what? That is so good that you fought through your technical difficulties, Jeremy, and you're joining us on the show now.
Thank you. Did you like how I was grumpy in my text to both of you and my boxes and everything?
No, because I can't look at them. I'm on Safari. Google Hangouts won't work on my Chrome browser. I just kept hearing plunk, plunk.
And I was wait, like, Google Hangouts won't work on your Chrome browser?
No, it won't. It goes like this. It goes, and it just like shuffles. And then I have to like restart Chrome. It does it on my other computer too.
Wow.
Google, can we fix stuff here? We heard, actually, Ms. Victoria Olson found out why they took Google Drive out of Hangouts. They said it's because no one used it, except for Victoria and I guess.
I used that.
I loved it. I know. What's up with that? I love having the dock right there. I don't know. Come on, Google. Come on, Sean Williams. Pull your Google-ness and get it back.
Jeremy, happy President's Day Eve.
Thank you.
Jeremy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have to go to work still. I don't get the day off.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because Jeremy's important, though. Jeremy, tell us about your
new job. I'm not one of those cushy teacher contract folks.
That's right. Tell us about your new job.
It's a new job. I work for Redmond School District. I'm the director of technology there. And I have to work on holidays.
Oh, my gosh. He's the director of technology, and look, he still has to take an office in the laundry room of his house.
I do.
That's right. Sadly enough, if I wanted an office, that's where I'd have to take it, too. I've thought about it. But it's
still not cool as my old office when I lived in Klamath with that had, like, the trees painted on the wall. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that one. That was cool.
And I'd put, like, people's Twitter handles and stuff on there.
Oh, my gosh. Whatever happened to the Northwest Educator podcast?
It just kind of died.
It kind of died. How many episodes did you guys do?
Like 5 or 6.
No, you did more than that, didn't you? I used to watch all the time.
I don't know. Sean has a lot more time than I do, and I felt bad.
I always told Matt Head just told me, my coworker just told me, he's like, was always impressed when you came up to me last year at PDX and said you knew who I was. And I was like, well, yeah, I was on your podcast with Jeremy and Sean. He's like, you remember? I'm like, you don't even remember that, Matt. I'm like, you weren't even talking to me. So anyway, so Jeremy, tell us what's up. Jeremy, are you ready to grump? You ready to gripe?
I will grump all you want, man.
Okay. All right. Tell us what's on your mind, Jeremy. Go ahead. Grump away. We'll give you free reign, just like we gave Shoresky. Talk about whatever you want right now. It's your turn to grump. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Wait a second. Did we have Shoresky on the show?
John? No, I'm talking about the other Techlandia. Oh. My sound effect didn't work there. So, no, I'm talking about Techlandia last Monday. All right, so go ahead. Jeremy, let it rain. We're ready for it. We're ready because we're tired. We've grumped a lot. So go ahead. Tell us what's on your mind.
I'm grumpy because, geez, I don't know. I'm tired of working late. How about you guys? You guys ever get tired of working late every night?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
And working early.
And then working early, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Scott's Instagram. He takes many, like, sunrise pictures, but out of his car, which I don't think is safe. Don't do that, Scott.
What are you talking about?
I've debated in my mind to start an Instagram thread where you have to guess whether it's night, whether it's evening, or the morning.
Ooh.
Because most of my drives look the same. Yeah. I just want to start taking pictures of saying, guess which drive this is, on my way home or on my way to work.
That's right. That would be fun.
People can actually guess. Because it kind of looks the same most days. You know what? Too much to jump about.
Jeremy, it is beautiful where you live.
It is. I like it. We're happy with Central Oregon. It'll take a little bit to get us out of here. Well, quite a bit to get us out of here, but we're loving
it. Yeah, I love that area.
I should grump that I tried to stay up last night just in case you were recording this and started falling asleep at my computer. Literally had, like, on my hand, my ring finger and my middle finger are like my heavy fingers when I'm typing. And I started dozing and I look up and there'd be like a D and an S all the way across the screen like 1,000 times. That's how I know it's getting late.
Hey, so you know what, you guys, that I wanted to kind of grump about a little bit is the hiring process in education. And one of the reasons I want to grump about it is I really feel like, you know, when you hear some of the ways that companies are hiring out there, and then you think about that sometimes, and I know it's different in different places, but sometimes somebody might go through a 20-minute interview to get a teaching job. It just makes me like question, like, wait, we need to rethink this practice because this person's going to be in a classroom with kids. And yeah, you can do the background checks and things like that, but at least we should be seeing a lesson of some sort, right? I mean, no?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? All right, so here, I'll go real quick, Jeremy, then you can go. You know what? One thing I think is funny is, so last year, did not work in schools. I got a couple jobs, right? And you know how many times I was asked for, like, my resume or to fill out a job application for those jobs that I actually got them? Not at all. They just looked at, like, stuff I had done online and chatted with me and things like that. And it's just funny how much different it is for getting hired back into teaching up here, because I have to go to the Oregon district office and do another background check, even though I have licenses in 5 states. And it's, I almost want to grump back to the licensing process. Why can't we get this straight? Why for every, and it's basically, Jeremy can correct me if I'm wrong, it's a known fact in Oregon, you don't even email them for questions in Salem. We actually, my wife is like, I'm not even going to email. I'm going to drive down and make sure I know what tests to take to get this. Even though we've been teaching in Alaska, we have licenses in Nevada, in Texas, I have one in Illinois. It's ridiculous.
John, this just in, they've delayed your credential again in Oregon.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But right, the other jobs, I mean, it's like, they just look at your online presence and are like, okay, this looks pretty good. Tell us more. And then I just go down and talk to them. Never filled out an application, never gave them a resume. They just talk to you, and they talk to you for a little bit longer. It's like informal discussions. And I don't know. What do you think, Jeremy?
The TSPC, which is Teacher Standards and Practices in Oregon, is quite the typical government agency. You get a lot of runaround. It takes a lot to get any feedback. I haven't had too many terrible experiences, but what they require teachers to do here seems a little over the top, considering the actual hiring process. Like you mentioned, Scott, I've been through a couple hiring processes. For this position, it was much more intense than anything else that I've gone through. But I mean, my classroom job, when I got my job right out of college, it was It was 20 minutes. It was a 20-minute process, but I spent probably 6 hours or more trying to get everything working with the TSPC and getting my license and getting, you know, fees and dues paid. And then when you get then every 3 years when your license needs to be renewed, it's like you've got to, wrangle a jellyfish and then show them that you know how to I don't know. I'm trying to think of all these silly metaphors, but they're not coming this late at night.
I like that one though. Wrangle a jellyfish. That's pretty good.
But it's pretty. It's just this rigmarole. That is that a grumpy word? Isn't rigmarole kind of like a word an old man uses?
You know what? That and we can check that off tonight, John. We don't have to use that now.
Okay, yeah, there you go. It is because I don't know. I sent papers in. Like, oh, this isn't what we want, and then 2 weeks later, I get something back saying, oh, no, that was fine, what you previously sent in, but I need you to send this in now. And like a month later, you're sitting there thinking, I don't even know if I'm licensed to do my job anymore.
it's because the right hand's not talking to the left.
It's such a pain. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can talk to any educator in Oregon that says the TSBC is an efficiently run organization. And now you're probably going to get another news brief here in just a moment saying that my teaching license has been revoked and that my administrative license will not be accepted next year.
This just in, John.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
Both of you have been banned from teaching in Oregon.
Oh, that's so funny.
No, but I just see the process out there, and I wonder if I'm sure there's people that are doing it right. You know what I mean? I mean, it can't be something that people haven't questioned across the country, but it just feels like, hey, it should be more than a 20-minute interview for such an important job. I mean, these are people in classrooms that need to be trusted and depended on for, number one, safety of kids, and then number two, you know, to provide the kind of education we would want. And that front-end pressure, I think, takes care of some other issues that can happen in the classroom that bring, you know, kind of that bad press to education. I mean, and I hate that bad press, and I would do anything to cut it off. And to me, it seems like that front-end hiring practice needs to change to make any kind of progress in that area.
All right, so this is a question that I've set in on a few interviews lately when we've been hiring people. And I've never seen, my old district, I've never seen people so concerned with, will this person get along with the team that we're hiring with? I'm more of a person, and I guess I'm like this in my fantasy football draft too. I'm taking the best player available. I'm not just taking someone because I think they'll fit in and get along with my team. If my team is good, then they should welcome a really good new player and be like, okay, here we go. We're going to kick it up a notch. But I think in my last school district, they were exactly the opposite. Oh, we want to worry about their fit. We want somebody that'll fit in. And I always just never agreed with that philosophy. What do you think about that stuff?
I think part of it, I mean, I think to an extent you want some sort of cohesive integration. You want somebody that's going to, you know, as much as I think we all feel that we, you know, the issues with echo chambers and stuff you guys have talked about before with Twitter and whatnot, we do want somebody that's somewhat like-minded to your building and to what your purposes are. But at the same time, if you're not willing to accept somebody that's willing to maybe push your thinking in another direction and perhaps improve the community or whatever in a different way than the standard or the status quo, I do think there's something wrong with that.
I'm with you. I do think that you need to be courageous enough to hire somebody that you know is going to push you a little bit. That's the thing, and that takes a little bit of courage because it might mean some change, you know, and then we like things that are status quo.
You know, what was funny was, all right, so one of the last ones I said, see, you wouldn't want to have me in like as one of the people listening to your interview, or maybe you would, I don't know. But I remember one we had where the administrator was definitely sure, and we were fourth grade teachers, definitely sure that this person that she was getting from a different state was going to Skype in, and we were just going to all be blown away. And so, of course, you can't get, like, the Skype to work or whatever, or, like, they couldn't work it because the Wi-Fi or whatever. So once I finally got in and got it to work, because it's pretty easy, the girl was talking, and I was like, okay. And the more I heard her, the more she sounded like she was a first-grade teacher, and I just said, why are you moving to Austin, Texas? And she's like, oh, well, my husband got a job and blah, 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 blah. And I said, so what's your job now? And she's like, well, I'm a reading coach and blah. I said, so will you consider teaching like in a classroom, a step down for yourself? And they all were like, John, don't say, I'm like, I'm just asking. And she was talking a lot about singing and things in the classroom, like she likes to sing and make up funny songs, which sounded cool, but it sounded cool for kind of like a little bit more of a primary classroom. And I said, tell me, what are some of your favorite singers, or what are your favorite, like if you had one CD to listen to, what's the CD you're listening to? And she didn't give an answer, and she couldn't say anything. And like, John, that doesn't pertain to, and I'm like, it does pertain. Why can't we ask questions that are real. I don't understand, like, we have all these questions, like, what is your, you know, imagine you have a really bad kid and he throws a pencil at you. What do you do? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I want to know, like, the real person then. It's funny. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't believe her if she's not telling me she doesn't have a favorite person. Like, if you love music so much, you've got to have somebody that you just love. Or give me two or three of them. I don't care. But they were, like, elbowing me the whole time. Like, John, shut up. And I was like, and you know what the funny thing was? She got hired. And immediately when the first grade job opened, she took it. Like, they hired her because the principal liked her. Immediately, she jumped in, and she took the first grade job. And then after that, immediately when the reading specialist job came open, she jumped to that the next year. And I thought, right, I had her pegged the whole time. What's so hard about this? You know, let's ask real questions to people.
John's the Michael Scott of education.
I'm just saying. I'm like, don't you want to, like, wouldn't you rather have, instead of just these boring, same old questions all the time, like, wouldn't you,
John,
like,
this just
real?
In. John, this just in. Tim Bedley's favorite band, Milli Vanilli.
Oh my gosh.
So he's going to kill me for that one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that's interesting. I think it's interesting, and I don't know. I think that we can change things a little bit. Why are we so hung up on, like, resumes and all this stuff? I don't know. I think that at some point
you just want to see their Spotify list? Like,
I do. That would give me a little clue. Can I see do you have a Spotify account? Do you have a Dropbox account? Like, these are, like, questions I would like to know. Do you have a Dropbox? Do you pay for premium or what? Okay. All right, that's good. Do you have a Dropbox?
What artist on the Spotify account would be a no-no for you?
I don't think there would be anyone that's a no-no for me. It would just give me a better picture of who they are then. Or, you know what? I'll say this, though. I'm not hiring Carl Lindgrensteiker because all he has is fish on his Spotify. that's a no right there. I would be like, no, sorry.
What if the top two listened to albums were by Yanni and Kenny G?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I like Kenny G. I could
hang with the side of Raffy.
And yeah. John, come on, John. If Train was on that list,
I think Train's on everyone's list except for mine. The funny thing is, I was watching Palladia or whatever, and I actually hit the wrong button, and it showed, like, all the stuff was coming. It was like Train live in Chicago at 7:30, and I thought, oh my gosh, I put a block on it, a parental block. I don't want my kids to see that.
Yeah, that is brutal if your kids have to listen to the Train.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't let them watch any kind of, like, baseball game either, because that's basically, like, the opening song act is always Train for every single game in every stadium in America.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? She likes to drink chai lattes while she does Tai Bo, and there's room to grow. All right. So there we go. All right. So I don't know. Any other thoughts on the hiring? I mean, I just think the hiring practice for teaching it's jacked up. Let's just say it's jacked up. Can we say that?
Yeah. So then how do you improve it?
I don't know. We should take it like the Fortune 500 companies and see how many of them, like, don't do a little bit of digital background checks, or if they have to have resumes. And I mean, what's the thing with, like, you send all these resumes out, or, you know,
I think you're right, John. I think the questions are really important. So the way and the type of questions we ask don't get at the kind of person that this person's going to be in a classroom, in a team, whatever it is, the kind of risk taker they might be. One of the things we did, Jeremy, you said, what are we going to do? One of the things we tried was we invited back, like, our top candidates to have lunch. So each day of the week, we invited them to come back and sit down and have lunch, kind of like let down their guard, just be real, and then have educational conversations to see, like, where were they at? Just, could they talk pedagogy? Could they talk tools? Could they talk about these things in a give and take informal setting? And I think time. But nobody wants to give up time, right? But that time is important. I think that time, father time. I think that time in the process is important. I sometimes feel like the process is done so it doesn't inconvenience the people that have to hire, if that makes sense.
Jeremy went through a pretty thorough one. Jeremy, tell us about yours, because yours was really interesting to get your job. You did the lunch thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, even before this job, when I got the job in Bend last year, here I am talking about two jobs in 2 years. I sound like John Samuelson.
Wait, that was the wrong one. There it is. Okay. We need a rim shot on that one. Okay, go ahead.
No, in Bend, it was very similar. Like I had like a formal interview, and then, which was just kind of a conversation. I think I even Skyped in for that one. And then the second one, they had me come into Bend, and I had to teach them something. That's all they asked me to do. So just background, my job was a instructional technology coach kind of thing, very similar to what John's doing now. And I had to actually come in and teach them something. They said, these are some things that we do in the district, and teach us how you would teach a classroom or a group of teachers. And that was it. Like, there were no questions during the interview. I just went in and I taught. And then they thanked me and I left. That was it. So that was kind of a two-part interview. And then they made their decision. And then this current job I had, the first part was my application and resume. And then I had to do a Skype interview where they asked me a bunch of questions, just general questions. And they weeded through the applicants, and then they did a they invited me in for, or actually, if I was accepted, then I had to create a video of how I would introduce one-to-one in my district. So like, ooh, if we were to go one-to-one, you know, what would my approach be, whether it be BYOD or whatever, and I had to make a video. And
what'd you do?
I talked about BYOD, but what that required me to do is I had to actually go in and understand what the district's goals were, what their vision and mission statements were, what their student population was, what their high school and elementary and middle school. So I actually had to do a lot of research to understand the district. So I wasn't just throwing out some cheesy, canned response like, oh, BYOD is great. But I had to actually apply it to them. So I created this video. I actually made it in Keynote, and I made a whole bunch of animations and then exported it as a movie, so it just looked like kind of digital animations.
Oh, cool.
And then sent that in. It was kind of cartoony, but it talked about, you know, why we need this and blah, blah, blah. And then after that, they narrowed it down to three candidates, and then three candidates had to come in and just give kind of one final presentation, like, what is your vision for learning? And what was great about it was the last interview had very little to do with technology and more about the teaching background, like, why is learning important? Where do you see yourself as a, you know, instructional leader and things like that? So I did a presentation on what I called finding the sweet spot, and I had a bunch of Venn diagrams, three Venn diagrams that would come together, and I'd have different things talking about it and saying this is where we need to be if we're gonna be successful, and that was it. And then they grilled me on a bunch of questions, and then we had lunch. Let's see. When did we have lunch?
What did you have for lunch?
Mexican food.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. You know, and I spoke Spanish, so I was speaking Spanish to the waiter, you know, just to impress them all. I was like, hey. No one was impressed.
Jeremy, I have to say, I reopened my Vine app the other day and was just looking through old Vines. Do you remember the one where the waitress was totally, like, in love with you? In Austin, and I was like, you were ordering, and then she said something like, oh, Jeremy, don't be so difficult, and I stopped the Vine, and so it's this whole thing with Jeremy, and she kept, like, it was funny, because the whole time, she kept going, oh, Jeremy, would you like your water filled? It was Jeremy this, she picked up on Jeremy's name so fast, and so Jeremy's like, I'll have the acho pie, and she's like, and then I went, hey, say Jeremy, don't be difficult. And then I vined it real quick, and she went, oh, Jeremy, please quit doing it. And she did it perfectly, and then the vine stopped. I was like, I watched that like five times on a loop.
That
reminded me of the good old days. That was
so wait, John, was that like Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic saying rose every other time?
That's right. He's like, I'll have the acho pie. And she's like, Jeremy, quit being so difficult. She loved Jeremy. It was so funny at this restaurant. Oh, I can picture that if you were vining at your interview, I think you wouldn't have gotten the job then. Probably you'd have been like,
probably not now.
But that was, I just remember, I just watched that yesterday, and then I took that vine of you sleeping, and then you were kind of, you were kind of sleeping, and then I just went like this in there. I was like thinking I was all funny because Vine was new back then.
Oh, that was an iPad Palooza. I had a migraine.
I remember.
I had a migraine that morning. I was sitting down, trying to be by myself, and John comes over and interrupts my 20-minute nap because he wanted to vine.
I was like, this is what it does. I was trying not to name the conference, Jeremy. I was trying not to give them a...
I apologize.
That's okay.
That one conference in Austin.
That one mega conference in Austin.
John, edit there.
Yeah. No, I'll say it. I'm not talking about that conference.
Is it like Voldemort, maybe? Like,
it is. It's
one
like...
He shall not be named?
He shall not be named. The conference that shall not be named.
Got it.
But yeah, so that's pretty funny. Okay, sorry, I interrupted your story.
No,
I just thought it was hilarious.
That's it. No, I actually appreciated this interview process because... It gave me a chance to get to know the people. The final interview, like that last day I was invited back, was all day long. So I came in the morning and there was just, they asked me some questions. It was kind of an informal question and answer period. Then I met with the current tech team, and then I got a tour of a bunch of buildings. And then I went to lunch with some district staff and HR director. And then I had to do the final presentation. And then I had a written piece I had to do. Like, I had two questions, and I had to write it out, and I had an hour to do it. And that part kind of felt stupid. Mm-hmm. And then they invited me to dinner. The dinner was just me and the superintendent, and that's where he offered me the job.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it was a cool process. I mean, I was there from, like, 9 in the morning, and then I got home that evening about, like, 6:30.
You know what? I picked up one mistake in your story, though. There's one flaw. You said that you built your presentation in Keynote.
Yeah.
And you meant Haiku Deck, right?
No.
You mean Haiku Deck? Because we know you are a Haiku Deck guru.
By the way, we love
Haiku Deck. We love Haiku Deck, by the way.
I do. I love Catherine Carr. She's one of my favorite people.
It's good stuff.
She's
they
awesome.
Should sponsor the show with Flo.
They should.
Well, and John, don't forget Chachia.
Oh, that's right. We have to get our
pet. Get your
Mr. McNology
Chia pet soon at retailers near you.
I think Mr. McNology should have his own Haiku Deck like theme. I think that's what I'm pushing for. I want to go up there one day and be like, Futura or what? I don't even know what is origami and then Macnology. That would be cool.
And I've talked to Catherine about it. Like, I don't use it professionally. I there's too many things that I prefer to have. In my classroom, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. With my ELL kids, it was amazing. I'll promote it for every classroom to use. But for professionally, like when I'm doing slide presentations and stuff, for me, it's not enough.
I used it in Idaho last week or the week before. I did use it. I still like it. I like it for that. I don't know why. Because I like to put up funny pictures with my little things. Because, you know, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I can talk a lot. So all I need is a little prompt on a slide.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah, I don't know.
I app smash it.
That's all. You know what? That's a whole show right there. We should just talk about app smashing.
Scott, do you make it in Haiku Deck and then import it into Keynote? And then from export it as a movie into iMovie, and then in iMovie, do you add some, you know, a few features and then annotate it and explain everything and then post it to YouTube and then have the parents download it
and send them a remind.
And send them a reminder.
What you did basically, what you were just talking about is you took your keynote and put it into iMovie. You were app smashing right there, or you were just being a smart person.
Oh, man.
App smash.
That's a very foul word. I'm sorry.
Coming to a conference near you. Do you know that I'm starting – actually, I didn't want to bring up iPad Palooza because, first of all, I know that none of my old coworkers would ever listen to this podcast, and so they'll never hear that I'm bagging on it. But second, I'm making a new – Scott and I are trying to do a new conference, and it's going to be built around app smashing and augmented reality. We're not sure what we're going to call it yet, but we're going to call it app – per hour or something like that. Smashar.
The Smashar. I almost spit ice all over my computer.
It's ashing in 4D.
Oh my gosh. Well, and one of the prizes we'll give out.
John,
to you, Mister.
John, this just in. Tim has just bought a new pair of skinny jeans on Amazon.
Oh, my goodness.
One day I'll have to meet Tim.
You shall meet Tim. He's legit, though.
He sounds amazing.
Besides all the teasing we lay on him here, he is a really amazing teacher. Best teacher I know, by far.
So if I asked him to bench press me, it wouldn't be awkward?
No, but what do you
talk, Tim? Well, your brother says you could bench press me. Prove it.
He could. He's like... guy's rock solid.
When I met him for the first time, he shook my hand, and man, did it hurt for a week afterwards.
John crumbled to the ground. It was pretty.
I was like... Oh my gosh, guys! No one's gonna listen to this podcast, are they? No one's gonna listen to this
one. Since you invited me on after I grumped at you on Google Chat, you've lost both of the viewers.
That's okay. One of the viewers was you.
So, it was. And yeah. I was a bit grumpy at you because I felt slighted again.
That's funny. Well, you keep talking about these texts, and I can't see them because I'm in Safari, so it doesn't matter. Now I'm going to look at them afterwards, and I'll be like,
I sent one to Scott.
Technology.
I sent one to Scott and said, hey, if it's just a two-man show, let me know, man. I'm good with that.
No, we told you we'd have you on. I just didn't. You sent me such a sad voxless, and you're like, I'm really tired. I'm going to go to sleep now. And I'm like, dude, I woke up in the morning. I was like, that's funny. I fell asleep an hour before you did.
I was sitting here. I was trying to get work done. I was like, oh, maybe they're going to have the show tonight. And then my middle finger like fell asleep first on my keyboard, and their D's going across the screen.
Jeremy fell asleep at his computer. How sad. On a Saturday night, too. Oh, man.
You talk about how sad that is, but it's a regular occurrence.
Oh, my gosh. Jeremy, you're going to – Jeremy, if before you know it, you are a young man. Before you know it, you're going to end up like us. Then. Don't do it. Look at this. Look, this is your future right here.
I would be honored to end up like you, too.
Hey, John. This just in. Tim is waking up for Monday morning.
He's got to get an early start to the day. You know those old people are.
I love you, Tim Bedley. I love you.
We love you, Tim.
The goofiness continues. We're actually going to edit here because we go on talking for about another 45 minutes. And Jeremy starts to talk about some conferences and he talks about Future Ready. So we're going to take this episode and split it into two. If you liked this one, and if you did, we need to meet sometime because... I don't know. You're my kind of person, but I don't know. There's got to be something wrong with you, too. But, if that appeals to you, Grumpy Old Teachers 8 will be uploading tomorrow, and we will have part two of this conversation with Mr. McNology. Thanks.